If you look closely over the weekend, you can see that the party is getting ready to head in a new direction and to push us in a new direction and to push their adherence at us in new ways. So let's talk about that today.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. It's good to see there's still some cops in the FBI. And, you know, I feel terrible because for many years I've had a great listener to the program and podcast, Gigi, who tells me about life in the FBI as an agent, you know, a street agent, so far different from the, you know, the party that runs it in Washington, D.C., the FBI, utterly and completely corrupt. But it's a friend of mine in Special Forces, or retired Special Forces, referred to it as a terrorist this weekend. What did he text me? Tango down, a terrorist is taking the room temperature challenge, you know, and the party and how they're treating this is really part of this new direction. It's really fascinating to watch. And I'm very thankful, obviously, that the innocent people in the synagogue were unharmed. And what I think that we're seeing is I'm watching the media coverage this weekend and just things beginning to triple out. I mean, there's so many things that are not changing, right? But there's a key element where the party is shifting the way I see it. And it's a disturbing element. And it plays straight into the party's philosophy of no definition, no hard science. This time it's no hard law. Now, I'm not talking about the Seattle fiasco, separate country, Portland, Los Angeles, lawlessness. That's real. In fact, this week, tomorrow, I'm going to have my friend Dory Monson on the program to talk about not just the lawlessness of Seattle, but the godlessness of it. And with all due respect, I know that I have plenty of people, friends who live there who are godly people, but it is a godless city. God's there, but he's loathed. So Dory's going to join us to talk about that. But this is another sort of aspect of softening definitions. And this is so frightening when you compare it to the actions of the party and what they intend to do with the power that they cleave. They cleave, you know, they use it as a meat cleaver, frankly, just smacking people around, chopping people up. So we'll talk about that. And on the good news side of this, you know, God, and we'll talk about this later this week, God has just destroyed the lies of Fauci, the Gates, and the people who caused Biden to say the things he says. They have nowhere now to store their lies. You know, and as I've said, when you live in a house of lies, you're going to get lost and eventually you can't stay in it. All right. The lies begin to eat you. So when they're starting to dribble out truth and starting to get up in the cover-up mode, and they are getting into cover-up mode on the COVID flu. We'll talk about this week, that the cover-up is obvious now. Washington State is not the only state that is laundering COVID numbers and hiding and lying openly and easily proven lies about how many people died from the COVID flu. In fact, we'll talk about this in this show or this hour, that the mainstream media types are calling out Fauci for lying. They're calling out Biden for lying, which is why I think there's a turn afoot. You know, when CNN will take Biden to task for lying, you know, this can be part of the strategy that Rush warned us about, God rest Rush, all those years ago before his, you know, his career, that a game they like to play is, oh, that's old news. So that by the time we get around to the election, they can be saying, oh, that's old news. We've talked about that. So what I see is so many things are the same that the things that are different stand out. The Google And over the weekend, the people at Google who take their order from the people who run the figurehead, Google are party members. Okay, it seems like they're bosses, but they're party members. Pharma, media, tech, academia, deep state. There's no doubt Google's a powerful member of the party, but they're simply party members. And the figurehead this weekend spoke, was caused to say some things. And one of the things that the figurehead said is he wants the networks and the shows, as he calls it, to stop allowing what he's decided to call disinformation. And after the figurehead said these things, Google did what Google was told to do.
Unfortunately, while our military is stepping up, as they always do, there are others sitting on the sidelines, and we're standing in the way. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop. COVID-19 is one of the most formidable enemies America has ever faced. We've got to work together.
So a deeply, deeply sad sounding man. He is. I can simultaneously pray for Joe Biden to have the Spirit of God visit him, to have the Holy Spirit be present in him, for him to, in his aged state and his senile state, finally take the knee to the Lord and to stop what he's being told to do. And there's no doubt the man is being directed. That man sounds like he's dying. And I don't say that with any sense of glee. That sounds like a dying man. And the media will put that off as, oh, well, this is Joe Biden just being very serious and very somber. It's not. That's an exhausted and tired and verging on the edge of senile, if not already senile, Joe Biden. But he says these things and boom, it happens. There's a purge over the weekend. YouTube took down Bongino. DirecTV took down OANN. And there's a massive pressure campaign to try to force Spotify into taking down Joe Rogan. And Rogan being the single most influential voice in media right now, they got to take him down because Rogan is not playing the game. So there was also over this weekend, this and a really disturbing, and we'll get into this later this week, really disturbing, watching Alex Berenson attack Robert McCullough, who is the inventor of the mRNA as a carriage system, the primary inventor. He wrote the original disclosure, 9 patents in his name. He was always considered the inventor of this until the party attacked him. Alex Berenson attacked him this weekend. It was disgusting. And I support Alex's work. No doubt he has been a hero in COVID reporting. But they're going to go after Rogan, and Berenson is going to help this. Now, Berenson's not calling for anyone to be shut down, just the opposite. He's the guy saying, hey, more speech, not less. But he was on Fox, and again, later this week, we'll get into this. And I'm watching Berenson thinking, is this an ego thing where you need to be the only truth teller, where this guy's eating into you your share of mind? I don't know. But it was awful. So now the pressure to shut down Rogan is afoot. And one thing, please, if you use social media, please thank Spotify for having Rogan on. And it was Brett Weinstein who suggested this. Just hashtag thank you, Spotify. Because I'm telling you, the pressure campaign is going to amp up until they try to strike Rogan completely down. And maybe that's welcome. Maybe Rogan going to a different platform altogether would be welcome. Or maybe good news. But these are the things that are staying the same, right? The party is taking the orders of the people who run Biden. But there's some other things that are shifting. And this is Aaron Burnett on CNN. Now, just think about how this shifts. That the same roughly 2 weeks that all of a sudden CNN discovered the dying with versus from COVID. Jake Tapper discovered it. Brian Stelter even said that the CDC has become their own punchline. The same 2-week period, suddenly now you have Aaron Burnett And it's not a COVID thing. You have Aaron Burnett taking on Joe Biden's lies about vote fraud. And this is a long piece. I've never played a CNN piece of this length. But this is important as we consider the shift that's going on and where this leaves the party.
Because he has thus far presented voting rights as a morally right or morally decrepit choice, that there's a right and there's a wrong. Here he is this week in Georgia.
At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
The side of right or the side of racism? That's what's being presented. Even the second ranking Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin, said Biden, quote, went a little too far in his rhetoric in that particular comment. And a right versus wrong simplistic view here is a problem. First of all, because more people voted than ever before in the last election. So to just broadly talk about voter suppression may miss that very crucial point. And take vote by mail as one example. Here's what Biden said this week, criticizing Georgia's new law.
Voting by mail is a safe and convenient way to get more people to vote. So they're making it harder for you to vote by mail.
Okay, well, New York is one of the most reliably Democratic states in the United States, and New York requires people to request absentee ballots, just like the new Georgia law does. Now, Georgia allows anyone to request an absentee ballot. New York does not. In New York, it's actually more restrictive. There are specific guidelines as to who can request an absentee ballot. In fact, back in November, New Yorkers voted down a constitutional amendment that would allow anyone to request an absentee ballot for any reason at all by 55% to 45% in an overwhelmingly Democratic state. And let's take a look at early voting. Georgia, the new law, the law that's sort of Abraham Lincoln versus Jefferson Davis, allows for 17 days of early voting. New York only has 9.
Aaron Burnett on CNN, suddenly taking the party to task in the same 2-week period that they have been now starting to dribble out truths about COVID. And it's just watching a switch. Cases, 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 peaceful riots, cases, 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 mail-in voting. You watch the coordination. And if there's any doubt that you still live in a controlled media environment, we're now how many months into massive protests once again in Europe? Not a single word about it in American media, not even on Fox. Massive protests around the world against the lockdown stuff. That stuff is stomped out. It is absolutely selective. It is absolutely purposeful, which leads me to believe that the rest of this is purposeful. When they were coordinated to say cases, cases, cases and peaceful riots, when they were coordinated to say the so-called vaccines are safe and effective, when they were coordinated to report everything Fauci said is truth, even when he argued with himself within 2 days, when they were coordinated to say this was the safest, most secure election in history, although they don't track second place. When all these things come out and there's this wall of narrative, I am led to believe that they are able to create with the party walls of narrative. It is a conclusion that's logical given what the observation of media behaviors is. So when I see a counter behavior, I'm going to say this sure seems like a purposeful decision to pivot. Because when they don't want to do it, they present wall of narrative. Now, I don't know this guy at the Hill, so it'd be unfair for me to say this is some kind of change in his behavior, but man, it's either outstanding journalism, I got to start watching this guy, his name is Ryan Grimm, or reading him, or it's happenstantial, but it's a 14-minute piece, it's lengthy. I encourage you to watch, particularly send it to your friends. If you have friends who worship at the altar of the Fauci, I encourage you to send this to them. It's in the show notes here. So it's a lengthy piece. It's talking about Fauci lying in regards to his actions to shut down journalists and scientists about him lying to cover up the Wuhan lab theory, about him pressuring scientists to come around and pretend they believe that it was created outside of a lab, that it was just natural. And what the sound is at the at 14 minutes or almost 15 minute piece, Ryan Grimm just completely roasts Fauci. This is a small, tiny little beast of a 14 minute piece. But what stood out to me was the fact that you have The Hill and Ryan Grimm on this YouTube show for The Hill, just going piece by piece by piece through and showing the fraud, the lies of Fauci, which are in fact deadly lies. So
while the mainstream media blackballed the topic, people kept pushing. Francis Collins in April emailed Anthony Fauci a link to a segment by Brett Baer, who noted that people still wondered about that lab. Of course, one thing Collins could have done is actively explored the question and search for truth. But by April, Fauci and Collins had settled on their story, and Fauci told him to ignore it and assured him it would all go away. Quote, I would not do anything about this right now. It is a shiny object that will go away in time.
It's a compelling piece of 14 minutes of actual news that shows that man, Fauci, directed the lies, was bossing his boss, that Fauci ran Collins. And Fauci's probably the most mobbed up guy in the party on the DC side because he's been handing around billions and billions and billions of dollars of walking around money all these years. Which leads us to what's next. Because as they're starting to position for that's old news, as they're starting to position for, no, the New York Times reported that. As Jake Tapper's now able to say, no, what are you talking about? We talked about death from versus with. Well, that was a big story for us. What are you talking about? Is you have Aaron Burnett, and this one's puzzling, coming out and nailing Biden on the vote fraud stuff. That's puzzling, and it takes some thinking. Maybe it's because I don't know. I don't even want to guess. But it's a change in wall of narrative behavior. But here's where that ends. Texas. So a guy walks into a synagogue and he takes hostages and it's on Facebook Live. And I'm not going to play the audio because I don't play audio. I don't say the names of people like this. He was because the FBI has taken him out. He was Islamic. His sister was a neurosurgeon who's accused of killing Americans. She's in prison. So she was accused of killing Americans on a military base. She's in prison for that. He decides to take these hostages. Now, after 10 hours, someone somewhere allowed the FBI to go in and end this thing. And they went in and dispatched the terrorist. And they did what good FBI cops used to do. But here's the wall of narrative. With most of the media, 99% of the Mockingbird media, this is not a big deal. It was not a let's cut live, let's be constantly on this. We're not going to see the face of the terrorist constantly. They're not going to talk about this was an Islamist who invaded a Jewish synagogue. They're not going to talk about that this is an Islamist attacking Jewish people. They're not even going to go to the gun thing. They're not even going to do that because just like the murder of the black guy who drove his car into a crowd of people, a black guy who said white people need to be taken out. Once again, now you see the reinstallation of the wall of narrative. And the FBI is in on this. So the FBI, which is, now remember, the FBI and the DOJ are very focused on domestic terrorism, right? This happened in the United States. It was a domestic act of terror. It was specifically meant to change policy. It was attacking civilians to change government policy. That's the definition of terrorism. So the same FBI and DOJ, which is obsessed with domestic terrorism, is pretending this isn't domestic terrorism. In fact, the FBI sent out a guy named Matthew Disrano. This comes from Powerline blog. Went out of his way to assert the hostage taker, what he called him, who seized the rabbi and three others at the congregation Beth Israel during the Shabbat services yesterday, was specifically focused on an issue not directly connected to the Jewish community. he's pretending that he just chose the Jewish synagogue because the Christian churches weren't open that day. And this is the length they're willing to go. The AP ran a piece saying that this guy, that there was a loud voice yelling in the video. Well, yeah, that was the hostage taker. Yeah, and what was it? An angry man could be heard ranting and talking about religion at times during the live stream. Gee, I wonder which one. Maybe the people with guns pointed at their head talking about religion, or maybe the guy with the gun. Then, of course, Linda Sarsour had already had this campaign to free this guy's sister. The Council on American Islamic Relations already had a campaign to free this guy's sister. And then Kerr came out and tried to distance himself from this guy. But here's the wall of narrative, and here's the move for the party as I see it. It goes right back to domestic terror. Propaganda of silence on how did this guy get into the country? Why was he here? Knowing that he came from a family that was his sister's accused of, in fact, in prison for terrorism and killing American troops. Now we get to where I think the party's headed, and it is super disconcerting. Times like these, it's so vital, particularly if you're talking about your retirement, you get with someone you trust. You haven't met him yet. You've heard him on the podcast. I know him very well. His name is Zach Abraham. He is my friend. He's my brother in Christ. He's the chief investment officer at Bulwark Capital. He's host of Know Your Risk Radio. And he gets asked a lot of questions. The most common question these days is people ask Zach, what is his number one concern with people's investments right now? And it's 6 years. Zach has been super consistent on this. He talks about inflation. I mean, he says inflation with all this money printing, still 0% interest rates, inflation will very likely rise. And then when inflation rises, bonds get crushed. This has been about 6 years. He's been saying this. So if you're one of the folks like I've been doing, you use bonds as the 60-40 mix, as the so-called safe portion of your portfolio, you might be taking a very serious risk with your retirement. So if you're concerned about inflation like Zach is, like I am, then get educated, right? Information is potential power. So start by getting the information. Get Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. Get educated on that. Bulwark's going to give you a free booklet called Common Sense Investing. And their goal is to protect your portfolio against loss while still seeking to grow your assets. Here's how you get this free educational resource called Common Sense Investing. Call Zach, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor, representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. So Texas happens. The FBI, the grifter FBI, that's the DC FBI, does its dance. This had nothing to do with the Jewish community. He just picked it at random because Islamists don't go around attacking Jewish people, except Islamists want to destroy Israel and kill Jewish people. They want to kill Jewish people first and then us, that is Americans. So typical FBI, typical AP. Some guy was yelling in the video. We can't figure out who it was. It was a hostage taker AP. Now we get here. The party's move. Go back to the softening of science, right? Start with men or women. Softened science leads to what? The party seizing kids, shooting them up with wrong sex hormones, putting them through surgery, and parents can't stop it in Washington State. You can be 13, you go do this, your parents can't stop it. You go back to the softening of science with the COVID flu from how you confirm someone to be ill with something. That is, you culture the illness in their body. That's when they, like the doctor thinks you have strep throat and he sticks the Q-tip down your throat and then does a culture, looks at it under a microscope and says, yep, you got strep throat. That's a specific way to confirm you have something. They went to something that is not designed for this purpose, the PCR test. They went from confirmed illnesses or infection to cases, a softening of the science. They softened the science around how deaths are determined, Now it's just guesswork. It's just a death from COVID because they say it is. They paid people to say it was deaths. You got more money if it was a COVID death. Softening science and paying people to participate in the softened science. The same thing they've done with global warming, climate change, climate catastrophe, climate hysteria. Same exact thing. Pay for the research you want. Soften the science. In fact, go to the point of fraud in how you measure temperatures. Go back in the history and make historical temperatures appear colder. Manufacture things like hockey sticks. All towards what? Your freedom is the problem. Your parenting is the problem with your kids. Your freedom is the problem with the COVID. Your economy, if you live in the United States, your economy and your free economy is the problem around the global warming, climate change, acid rain, climate catastrophe, Greta Thunberg said stuff, syndrome. The party. Fair control. The party. Your freedom is the issue. The party shifting gears. And here comes the wall of narrative. Start with the propaganda of silence. The figurehead was once again dividing Americans, just as the dictator of Washington State is dividing Americans, saying his supplicants in Washington State, he's told them, you need to be enraged at people who did not take the injections. That's a so-called governor telling people to be enraged at their neighbor, seeking and courting violence. The figurehead in Washington, D.C., is ramping the rhetoric in the same way. Both these guys, Inslee, who wishes one day to be president and never will be, Joe Biden, who gets to play the role of president, both of them operated behind militarized fences. Both of them ran theater pretending that they were under attack by waves of well-funded, mountainous members of white supremacist armies with tanks and missiles and B-52 bombers, and they got to hide behind their fences. Have you ever seen the mockingbirds come back and say, hey, you remember when you put up a fence around Washington, D.C.? Remember when your intelligence services said an attack was imminent? Remember when you said that if we let up on the COVID control measures, that white supremacist armies were going to come in and seize Washington, D.C. and stomp it to the dirt? Remember when you celebrated January 6th because that's what you did? Remember all of these things. You get back to the wall of silence. Propaganda of silence, just as no Washington, D.C. reporter is saying, why are we in a fake White House? Why is this on a soundstage? Why don't you even pretend to put that? We don't even bother with the blue screen behind the figurehead anymore because people were realizing it's a blue screen. So now it's just a blue image behind the figurehead. Why are we pretending? Why is this theater? Why did you put the fences up? You notice this? It's not being asked. So when we can watch the American media be put into wall of narrative, they're not going to show you the images of the massive protests against the lockdown measures in Europe. They are not going to go through in detail the injuries and deaths caused by these injections. They're not going to spend any time on yet more young athletes retiring from their sports, being grievously injured, cannot continue. The latest is a legendary marathon runner. They're not going to do that. None of these things, you get back into the insertion of wall of narrative. So when Aaron Burnett calls Biden out for lying about vote fraud, why is it left to us and shows like this to call out Biden for attempting to divide Americans violently?
I ran for president to unite the country.
To be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace.
I ran for president to unite the country.
Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor?
I ran for president to unite the country.
Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
And that's from X Strategies. And we're going to talk about the CEO of X Strategies this week, who's been called to testify to the January 6th committee because he said things online and gave money to organizations. And he went on with Tucker Carlson and said, no, forget you. I'm not coming on. I'm not going to come and testify. You're a clown show. So the party's setting something up. And it's like soft science. What the party is doing with the rule of law is the same thing they did with cases, 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 and boys are girls, and death counts, and COVID. They're taking something that means something, and they're stealing the meaning. So the attack is on the pressure campaign to get Spotify to drop Joe Rogan. Now, they make a lot of money on Rogan. They've spent a lot of money on Rogan. So it's going to be hard for them to drop him, but not to drop me. Now, DirecTV this weekend dropped OANN, the conservative Trump, I guess, Trump-supporting television network. They've dropped them, and that effectively kills their business model. So the pushes are back on to get rid of voices like this, which is why we ask you to get to the ToddHermanShow.com, sign up for our emails, give us your email. We won't sell it. We won't rent it. We will not spam you. The only thing we'll send you has to do with this show. That's it. And in fact, right now we're emailing people to take a survey about what they want the subscription service to be. But when one of the platforms cancels us, we can send you a note. That way you're not left out. That way you can immediately get back into the information flow. Just go to thetoddhermanshow.com. So the DOJ announced they're going to be creating themselves a division solely focused on domestic terrorism. Question. What is the federal statute that defines domestic terrorism? There isn't one. Now, I want to give credit where credit is due. I was listening this weekend to Janet Marshall, who is a radio host in the Moody Radio Network. And on Friday, she has her husband, Craig Marshall, on. Craig is a lawyer in Washington, D.C., has taken a lot of cases to the Supreme Court, very experienced. So he spoke these words, and this was for me a moment of turn the radio up and say, did I just hear Craig Marshall say what he said? There is no federal statute to define domestic terrorism. But the DOJ has created a division to focus on something that is not defined in law. Where is the reporting on this? Go back through what we talked about in this podcast. Go back through to the top. Some things have changed. Some things haven't. They're shutting down alternative voices. Bongino shut down, demonetized by YouTube. DirecTV shutting down, OANN, which effectively kills their business model. The FBI saying, oh, the Islamic terrorist guy, that's not domestic terror, by the way. That's not terrorism. He went in on some issues not related to Jewish people. Soft peddling, hostage taking. Some things change, some things don't. The media can be put into wall of narrative mode. Just as no one ever asked questions from a media perspective, like the questions we've had about the election, and I continue to have, never asked. Just like only now, they're beginning to ask questions about the COVID. No one has asked the people who run Biden or the figurehead himself, hey, what happened to those fences? Hey, where are the domestic terror armies you say exist? Hey, by the way, your DOJ has set up a division to go after something that isn't defined in law. Isn't that a little frightening? If they can go after what they define, that means this is not an issue of law. You have the Department of Justice hip to hip with the FBI investigating people for something that's not defined. Folks, you know the phrase Kafkaesque. You could be brought into questioning by the FBI and then can say, we're investigating you for domestic terrorism. We'll define domestic terrorism. We don't have to. We decided it's terrorism. This comes in the wake of the FBI defining January 6th as an insurrection, a coup attempt, even though we know they were embedded in that effort. We know that. That's not debatable. The Proud Boys boss was an asset. It's not debatable that the FBI was involved and knew this was coming and frankly let it occur. That's not debatable. You're dealing with an entity that called the president a spy of Russia. That's not debatable. That was a lie. They knew it. They manufactured it. You're dealing with a regime that is about to ban American truckers from going to Canada and Canadian truckers from coming to America unless they've gotten the injections. You're dealing with a regime that tried to force the injections into the arms of every American and don't think they were going to stop at companies with 100 people. You're dealing with a regime that is now going out with law enforcement against something that is not a law. Meaning, you can be charged with something that doesn't exist. Now, they could take terrorism statutes and they could say it happened on American shores. Okay. And this is a citizen of the United States. Okay. But they're not. They're manufacturing a phrase that they then get to fill in the results. Look how that has worked in American society. The phrase transsexual means something. Someone had an operation. They had their genitals, plastic surgery, like mutilated and changed. They were injected with wrong sex hormones. That's demonstrable. Okay, that happened. That person, you can say, yep, transsexual. Transgender means nothing. And it's being used to separate families and children. It's being used to ruin the lives of children. And there's big pharma. The case means nothing. The word case, cases, was just used beginning in March of 2020 to launch the Great Reset. That useless phrase, meaningless phrase, crushed 40% of small businesses. It has destroyed the mental health of children. It crushed therapeutics. It has put doctors and nurses out of business because they use that to crush them. You can't talk about therapeutics. It allowed them to usher in the decade of the so-called vaccine, which is what Bill Gates called it. Meaningless words defined by government and then enforced as if they mean something. What does domestic terror mean in the eyes of the people who run Joe Biden? Well, let's look. It doesn't mean an Islamist seizing a synagogue, threatening to kill Jewish people, all with an attempt to have his sister convicted of terrorism in prison taken out. It doesn't mean the year-long effort to break into a federal courthouse in Portland to murder federal cops. It doesn't mean a concentrated, well-funded, legally supported, logistically supply chain supported effort to burn down American cities and successful effort to get cops killed in an effort to change an election. It doesn't mean that. In the case of the United States Army, it means soldiers pressing like on posts. It means 86-year-old women going to Washington, D.C. and following a crowd into the Capitol and standing behind the velvet rope lines, getting her picture taken with the American flag, standing behind the velvet rope lines saying, oh, they let us into the Capitol. Isn't that neat? Oh, it's certainly lovely. Look at all the pictures. Oh, there's some people going upstairs. Those look like steep stairs. I won't go. It means that. It means an elderly black man from Harlem going to hear the president of the United States speak who didn't go walk on the lawn where he wasn't supposed to. He was just there. That's domestic terrorism. The shift the party is making is a new war on terror. The terror of disagreement. The terror of skepticism. The terror of clear thinking. And the terror of religious Christians. Remember that the so-called Supreme Court crushed efforts for churches to remain open. They've crushed efforts for churches to say, we don't want to pretend boys or girls. We don't care. And there's the good news. There's the good news. Just like it always does, the Bible tells us what's going on. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, from the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now that applies to us if we're following God's law. If we will not let the party make us into terrorists. Because that's what the party wants more than anything in the world. The party wants to push people to the brink so they overreact, become emotional, and in fact become that which the party's already pretending them to be. If you rate the podcast will be protected. It's not fully true because, of course, they can still take us down. But they don't like to take down highly rated podcasts. Secondly, it helps bring us up in the algorithm. The other thing that helps bring us up in the algorithms is when you review the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, if you write some words, like write a quick paragraph about why you like the show, that feeds the algorithm and allows them to suggest the show to other people. That's one of the really important steps you can take to help us. Also, emailing friends. I am so, so thankful. So many people have emailed friends, 10 friends, particularly if they listen to us on Rush's program, God Rest Rush, then that's a way to tell them, hey, this guy has his own podcast. And it's turning out to be a very, very potent thing. So we are protected by the word of God if we follow the word of God. And as the party attempts to shove us into becoming that which we pretend we are, if we refuse, we're going to watch the lies continue to tumble as God is just forcing these people into the light. They've been hiding forever. Now we see them. And there are people in the background, by the way, who've been defending us and we don't know it. This is a note from a teacher, Jim, who's defending us on doing a job of being a balanced thinker in his career. Hey, Todd, I'm a teacher in Arizona, currently on our SEL Social Emotional Learning Committee. And I'm in discussions about the curriculum our district plans to adopt. We've looked at several already, and we thus far rejected them all, or more accurately, tabled them for further discussion based on many of the concerns you have expressed. For my part, I continue to point out when a system is being pushed out to all kids generically, and when it seems to be usurping parental guidance, decisions, involvement, etc., reminds students that it is not what school is for. We certainly have many students who need help and guidance. They're not getting at home, but one-size-fits-all curriculum is not the way to go. In a side discussion I had with one of the bosses, I told her I was not going to approve a curriculum because of funding or because it was good enough. I've been a part of the different programs we've had at the target who target students at the greatest risk, and so I know these are good and need necessary programs like these. I let the boss know I will not indoctrinate students in a how and what to feel program. In addition, boss knows I will not be forced to lie about biological truths, even as I will and do treat my students who are struggling with gender issues with respect. I will not say boys or girls or vice versa or anywhere in between. For now, I have the support of the bosses, but I wonder what will happen if a different large lumps of cash come in and how long that would last. Despite my respect for my boss, I know the position bosses hold are political ones, and that may change. If anything changes or is approved, I'll let you know if it was above board or not. I can't stop anything, but I've noticed a lot of nods from those that don't want to speak up and looks of disapproval from those who disagree with me. I appreciate you and all you do. God be with you and keep up the good fight. Jim from the heart of Route 66. Jim, you're protecting kids from a poison that they're trying to insert into their mind. And I appreciate what you do because you're doing it with a level head and you're doing it in a smart way. And it seems like you're doing it in a loving way. And that's really difficult to do when we see what the party is doing to our children. You also reminded me of something, a little song review I've been meaning to do. And it's from a guy who I consider to be a one-hit wonder. His name is Sean Mullins. Remember this song, Rockabye, Everything's Gonna Be All Right? It's a super dramatic song. And it's beautiful that it's simple and he talks in it. And that's hard to do and not sound cheesy. And somehow he pulls it off. He has a new song out. It's called Shimmer. And it's very much Sean Mullins. It almost follows the same pattern as Lullaby or Rockabye. Everything's going to be all right. Not quite the same pattern. He's a champion of, speaking of shimmering and shining guitars and a little bit of jingle jangle in the background. He's a champion of dramatics and how he sings. And his voice, it is a soaring voice. God gifts people with things. And he's gifted Sean Mullins with a soaring voice, which really belongs in this form of pop. He's not a Tom Petty. He's never going to write the, you know, huge number of hits that Petty ever did. I wonder what a concert would be like, because I got to believe he plays the same three songs four or five times. But then again, I don't know his whole catalog. In this song Shimmer, he's talking about his little baby, little boy, little baby boy that he has. And it's also lyrically very satisfying. He speaks the words in here that we teach kids how to hate. I don't think Sean Mullins means critical race theory. But as you listen to this, consider. So many people still don't understand how kids are being taught to hate now as official government policy. This is called Shimmer. Sean Mullins.
Sharing with us what he knows. Shining eyes are big and blue. And all around him water flows. This world to him is new. This world to him is new. To touch a face. To kiss a smile. New eyes see no race. Essence of a child, the essence. He's born to shimmer, he's born to shine. He's born to radiate. He's born to live, he's born to love. But we'll teach them how to hate.
True love, it is a rock, he sings. Indeed, it is the rock. I wonder what would happen if we just, you know, prayed for Hollywood. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, you think of the power of what they're able to do there, and so many of them, like Mullins. I don't know Mullins' heart. Perhaps he's a Christian. I guess I should research that. But I think of the power of story, and we've shared before on the program that the story, the narrative, the true narrative of the life that we lead, and the way God has constructed this ongoing search to reunite his family, to have us be readopted into the family. And you think of the meta narrative and then the micro narratives within this. It's the greatest story ever told, and we live it. And yet so many in Hollywood are blind to it. But I really do think that so many of them in their hearts really do want beauty. That's why they get into the arts. I mean, some of them get into it for the money and for the chicks and the babes and the cocaine, or maybe that's the way it ends up. I don't think that's the case with the Sean Mullins. I don't think you write a song like that about your little boy and not have these feelings. And what would it be like if we just prayed for God to just inhabit Hollywood, to just start a revival? And if you think it can't be done, I mean, I refer again to what's going on in the Middle East and the dreams where Jesus is appearing to Muslims and saying, I am he. If it can be done there, it can be done in Hollywood. We do ourselves a disservice by simply hating what they produce and not turning around and praying for the people who do the production to themselves. See the most productive change they could ever see for them, for us, for souls, for the country. I'm going to pray for Hollywood. This is the Todd Herman Show. We appreciate the support. Go be well, be strong, be kind, and please do be right with God.